We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 100th. The 100th episode of Courtside with Christine and Gabe right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. Gabe, 100 shows, my friend. 100 shows. What the pandemic did for us was connected us on Her Hoop Stats, got us on this podcast network to chop it up weekly about women's basketball on the collegiate level, also in the WNBA, USA basketball, the whole gamut. But first of all, I just want to thank you for being the consummate teammate, and just to be able to have this opportunity with you has been such a thrill for me. And you know, I love to talk basketball, so it's, you know, not outside my wheelhouse or, you know, right under the surface of my skin, but I just have just, I don't know, I've just enjoyed it immensely every week, just looking forward to your perspectives, the perspectives of our listeners, but also allowing the mental gymnastics in my head to go on, because you know I love the mental gymnastics, and you know, so, but it's just been a joy. So I just want to thank you. And I want to thank Aaron for the opportunity to be involved right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network.
Yeah, really. So, I mean, obviously, I think I've had the better end of this deal because I get to talk to a Hall of Famer, one of an amazing basketball player, amazing basketball coach, amazing person, and someone that I'm very lucky to call my friend and someone I hang out with very often. So it's great to... it's just awesome to be able to celebrate us. And obviously we would love to do more stuff with clips from all our shows and whatnot, but, you know, it's just been so, it's been such a crazy time in the college basketball season that it's been tough to do, but it has been nice to this week kind of reflect on everything we've been through and how, you know, you've really inspired me more to be more in basketball, even more so than I was. You know, I came into this as a basketball fan and now I'm coaching, and now I just feel like I'm more of a part of the community of basketball. And that's thanks to you. Thanks to our listeners. And again, thanks to Aaron Barzilai for putting us together in July. Our first episode, I just looked it up. July 28th, 2020.
Wow. That's insane. That's, first of all, that's insane, but go ahead, continue. That doesn't feel like it.
Right.
100 episodes. Wow.
100 episodes, and our first podcast was entitled "The WNBA and the Washington Mystics Are Back." So, because the Connecticut Sun Mystics game, was on a Saturday or a Sunday?
Now, you know who you're talking.
All right, sorry.
I'm not gonna remember that at all. It was one of those days. It was on a day. That's what I know.
we previewed that game. And I remember like being, everyone was so hyped about it. And my friend, I had some friends coming over and we were like going to watch it. And then the Mystics just completely blew out the Sun.
Yeah.
And that was just nuts. But, maybe that was the year the Sun beat the Mystics. Doesn't matter. But we watched it in the time of the bubble, the wobble.
Yeah.
That was when we started, Christy.
We started in the wobble. Oh my gosh.
In our little bubbles, my hair was super long.
And mine was not this long. Thanks to Bree. Oh, hey, Bree. Weaves by Weezy. Go ahead. Braids by Bree.
I think we need a... Actually, that's good NIL. We should talk about that.
Yeah.
Off air.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We do have to celebrate us fully. However, there's too much women's basketball talk right now that I think we just gotta get into everything that's happening.
There's so much. Yeah.
So do you want to start in college or the WNBA is my question.
Oh man. I think we can start with the WNBA because it's not a lot of news right there right now. And then collegiately there's a bevy of games and topics that we could tap into, but with the WNBA, I guess we can start with them announcing that the All-Star game is going to be in Vegas on July 14th. And I already had some of my really good girlfriends text me and say girls trip. And I'm like, yes, boo. So I think that's already in the works for me and my crew. So hopefully you and your crew will go too. So that'll be fun.
So, you know, what's crazy is like, obviously Vegas puts on an amazing show.
Yeah.
Every event they've ever hosted has been amazing. And this year it's also going to coincides with Summer League for the NBA.
It does.
So I know some people don't necessarily love that, but I love that because it's just going to be, a sea of basketball folk Vegas.
Come on.
All hanging out. WNBA, NBA, NCAA, everyone's going to be there. I think it's just going to be an amazing time. So I'm very, very happy that the defending champs get to host.
Same.
And then we'll have to go and I guess go to the casinos,
What'd you say?
It'll be tableside.
You have to play all the stuff because I don't know how to do all that stuff. I'll pump you up though. I'll be like, yeah, Gabe, put that right there. Yeah, good, black or whatever. Whatever, and see what you.
I don't know what I'm doing either, but
okay.
Just have someone throw it, and then you have someone else tell you what to do, and it works out sometimes. But we'll do tableside when we're in Vegas for the All-Star game. Just looking forward to that big way.
Hashtag that.
So that'll be be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
You know, if that's again an all like last year's game, how many all four five all five aces made it to the
was it.
No.
Not all the all five starters you're talking about?
There was four Las Vegas Aces who made it to the All-Star game last year. Chelsea Gray was the one who was left out. I don't think she's getting left out this year, so it'll be really interesting to see if they again get four players because De'Arica Hamby may miss some time early in the year.
Oh yeah, because the baby boy coming. Yeah. Oh, De'Arica. Congrats, De'Arica, if you're watching. Oh, very sweet. But no, I know for a fact the second half of the season, Chelsea Gray wore that as a badge of, fire, right? Mm-hmm. And wanted to let people know that was a miss. that was a huge miss. I mean, she played, not that she needed any inspiration or motivation whatsoever, but the fact that she had that as motivation really showed improved, especially winning the championship and the gold medal in the same year. It's like, come on, man. That's the point, God. Why are we second guessing that? And we're not even talking about, MVP conversation. We're talking about an all-star team. You know what I'm saying? Like, why? I don't know what the confusion was on getting her on an all-star team. Like, what do you think the biggest issue was for her not making it last year?
I think it was like, just like the production of Plum and Young and the numbers, right? People, when you vote for an all-star game, it's largely based on numbers. And it's also, kind of a smaller sample size. Like Chelsea Gray did get much better in the second half of the year. Not that she wasn't at an all-star level in the first half of the year, but she became the MVP in the second half of the year. So I just think it was just like a level of production. People see numbers, and then you don't have as big of a sample size to really say, oh, like this person's actually driving all of that. And then she just took off. But what this year, I'm going to tell you, every coach in the WNBA, you could just write in pen, in Sharpie, get a Sharpie.
Sharpie.
Just write Chelsea Gray at the top of your ballot. Because I don't care what she's doing. I don't care what she's doing. She's healthy.
She's a boss.
As a coach, do not give her the motivation.
Thank you. Like, what are you doing?
Don't give her the motivation. Make sure she gets in the All-Star game. Exactly. Every team in the league should have an All-Star campaign for Chelsea Gray if you think you're going to see her in the playoffs. Because that, look, she's a great player anyways. But I think that pushed her to really take care of everyone in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you said, you know, about the small sample size, it's like, you know, Plum and Young, you know, they were coming off the bench before. And then all of a sudden now they're starters and she's going to find them. Like, she's a point guard. So she's going to set them up, which she did very well. So that has to be taken into account as well. It's not just, you know, how many points is she averaging? I'm like, no, she's setting the table for some dogs, like Plum Dog, you know. She's setting the table up for them in a masterful way. So let her live. And, you know, it doesn't just have to be based on her point production, but it's based on her productivity as an organizer and conductor of the offense. Let her do that. You know, let her live in that space and not try to, you know, make it into something that it's not, right? There's more than one. There's more than one component to being a great basketball player. I mean, going way back to Dennis Rodman, 20 rebounds, zero points. And how many rings? Like, you know, there are different things that you can excel in on the court that can impact your team in a positive way. And you win titles and rings. Like, you know, let's just do away with that. You know, let's cancel the notion that you just have to be a bucket getter only. To be a basketball player, like, be well-rounded, be a Swiss Army knife, do everything well, you know?
We need to end the points per game society.
Yeah.
No more points per game society.
Yeah, stop playing with that. But, like, what are we doing?
And like Chelsea, like, when you look, if everyone's having a career year, it's probably due to the point guard in most teams.
That's all.
If
that's
every single person's having a career year.
Yeah, that's everywhere. Every gender, every age, every level of basketball. I mean, that's how it goes. You know, but they don't win without her, period.
Well, I think she'll be in that game this year. I think she'll
be
in that game this year.
She better
I want to talk about another WNBA All-Star snub from last year, actually, and talk about Alicia Gray.
How about that?
Reporting here is a little weird. Christina Williams is a really good reporter, and she, you know, she has great sources. So obviously this is completely trustworthy. Just like the reporting was a little weird because it initially said Alicia, she was expected to be traded.
I saw that.
And I was like, by whom? Who is expecting for her to be traded? Because if I'm the Dallas Wings, I'm not expecting her to be traded because I'm not trading her unless I get a really good offer because she still has a year under contract. And I'll explain why it may happen anyways. But I think what the reporting has ended up being is she's expected to request a trade. And once that's out there, you've essentially requested the trade. You've already requested the trade. She's already expressed her frustration with the organization. Yeah. So she wants out. She listed the teams as where she'd want to go is Washington, Atlanta, Connecticut, or Chicago.
How about that? And Washington being first on the list and having it start with W, so it's not alphabetical. So maybe that because it's preference, right? Is it preference having Washington first? I mean, inquiring minds want to know that.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Maybe here's the thing though. That list to me is mostly irrelevant because she has no leverage. She has no leverage in the situation to say, I'm going to play in one place. She still has a year in the contract. She can't just sit out. If she sits out, she's just going to be tied to whatever organization has her contract right now, which would be the Dallas Wings, unless they trade her.
Yeah.
So she can't just like say, I'm going to sit out. And she's not, you know, with all due, Alicia Gray's a great player. And she's probably, she's going to make another All-Star case this year. I promise you that. But she's not Breanna Stewart. Breanna Stewart is pretty much one of three or four players in the league who'd say, you're going to trade me and you're going to trade me to whatever place I want because I'm the best player in the world. You know,
she has so, the leverage you're talking about.
She has the leverage. And so for Alicia Gray, I think she may be able to get out. And I think it's good work by her agent to get this out now before free agency begins. So teams can start thinking, hey, Alicia Gray wants out.
Yeah.
You look at Dallas's situation.
Yeah.
Marina Mabry and Tierra McCowan are restricted free agents who look like they're going to get some good offers. So if that happens and it comes down to a decision between, hey, we got to keep Mabry or Gray, obviously Gray doesn't want to be here. Maybe we can help her out and get her to a team that she wants to be at, provided that that team has assets that we want.
There you go. That's a big piece of it, right? I mean, it can't just be where you want to go. It's very, you know, the team that you're eyeing, where you fit on that team, right?
Right.
And exactly. And what they can give up or what they're willing to give up. If they're willing to give up anything. Like some teams want to stay pat, right? Because, you know, the salary cap and everything else, they want to make sure that they're status quo with that stuff, right?
Well, and continuity wins, right? Like look at the Aces, the team we just talked about. They're a great team, great collection of talent, but they've been together for years now.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a second year of Chelsea Gray, and that's really what kind of propelled them to being the great team that they were.
True.
So I think most teams are going to factor in continuity. But the question is, also for the wings, I think Richard Cohen brought this up on Twitter. Do you really want draft picks here? Because what do draft picks do for Dallas? Like Dallas needs to move it along.
They
need to start winning now.
They do.
I don't think draft picks work. So you're looking at players that can help you win now.
Today.
And how many teams are gonna, like, what teams are gonna give that up for Alicia Gray? It might be a good swap, but you're not gonna save, probably not gonna be saving money, and you're probably not gonna get, you know, a really high end player. Because if a really high end player is happy where they are, you probably want to keep them.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah. What are we really talking about? Exactly.
Let me throw out some ideas here, just to see if we can get her to one of these spots that she wants to be at. Let's see if it works out, right?
Okay.
So in Washington, I mean, it's tough because they don't have a ton of people on roster.
Okay.
And the players that they do have are kind of non-movable. I mean, obviously, Elena Deladon's not being moved.
No.
Tasha Cloud.
No.
Would you think? Because the answer to me is no. But would you think if Dallas called and offered Alicia Gray for Ariel Atkins? So I think no.
My hesitation on that is more shock than thought. I would tell you that. No. And no disrespect. I love Gray.
No disrespect.
No, I love Gray. But I just think that Ariel Atkins, you know, the Olympic gold medalist. And I know Gray won one with a 3v3 team. So, I mean, they both won a gold. But at the same time, I just think Ariel Atkins fits the system for Mike Thibault. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Eric Thibault. I'll get used to it. It's
Eric Thibault, father of Dean.
Oh, congrats to Dean Michael. I thought he was going to name him Gabe. Gabe? For you, you know, you guys are boys, you know. Oh, but he is such a sweetheart. And I saw, just getting off the track for like 2 seconds, I saw Mike Thibault at a recent Wizards practice. And I just gave him the biggest congratulations to he and Nancy and Carly, the new auntie up there, head coaching at Fairfield, Eric's sister. And so he just said it was an amazing, thrilling moment for their family. So just sending lots of love to the Thibaults. And oh my gosh, he is such a little nugget. He's a sweetheart. Yeah. So congrats to Eric and Drea with their new bundle of boy.
Yeah, so good. I mean, sorry, we were gonna say that at some point, but
because I fumbled and said Mike Thibault. You know, I gotta fix that. I gotta rewire myself to say Eric, but I just think that Ariel Atkins just fits what the Mystics do, right?
Yeah,
3 and D, but the way that she plays defense is uncommon. The way that she forces her will on opponents on the defensive side of the ball, and she's going to crack your head on the offensive side too. And don't get it twisted. She's not just a 3-point shooter, although she's in the 40 percentile, I think, or high 30s at the end of this season, but low 40s, high 30s is still a clip. Okay. For Ariel Atkins. But I thought that the ability of her to gain access to the drives and finishes and get herself to the free throw line. I mean, she made a concerted effort in the off season to say, that's what I want to do better. I want to get to the second, the first and second levels. I already know, you know, I'm going to be there for kickouts because I'm usually on that same left side because she's a lefty, but she's on that same left side with Elena Deladon. Deladon loves that left block and they love to set her there.
And dominates that left block.
And dominate right there. But I mean, that's smart, right? Because then you have Ariel Atkins in the corner or Ariel Atkins lifting to Valani Sindit in the slot. So it's just, I don't think they would move her. And I mean, I don't know, you know, this is my own personal opinion. This is no like breaking news, but I just don't think that they would give her up because I just think she fits so perfectly to the puzzle here in DC for Eric Thibault, the new head coach. How I swung that. Yeah, I got it.
A shorter way of saying that is that Ariel Atkins is better than Alicia Gray.
You not, said no that, not me. Hey,
look, but she's also 2 years younger.
That's
I said that. She's two. Ariel Atkins is 2 years younger, and frankly, she's just a little bit better of a player. And I don't. That's not a knock on Alicia Gray. I'm comparing. We're comparing gold medalists. We're comparing all-star contenders. Yeah. We're comparing team players that can win. But to me, I would rather have Ariel Atkins. I think the Mystics would too. I think they see her as a franchise player.
Absolutely.
Especially at her age, she's 26. She's very young still. She's very young still.
Yeah.
And she'll get paid next year, but I think the Mystics are going to be happy to pay her.
Yeah, they're keeping her.
So then the other option would be Maisha Hines-Allen. I don't feel like getting too far into that, but like I just don't see that happening either because Maisha Hines-Allen has 2 years left on her deal and it's not saving money.
Yeah.
They play such different positions, and then you know, Gray kind of becomes a little bit redundant with the other talent you have. Mm-hmm. But maybe Washington's a possibility. The other three teams, though, really have nothing in the vein of a player that would help Dallas win. Not necessarily next year, but just within this core. There's not really a player there that you should look and say, hey, that's someone I would trade Alicia Gray for, even 1 year of Alicia Gray. So to me, I think she's going to end up staying put unless that money, another team is going to offer a lot for Alicia Gray, which could happen because she's an awesome player. I could see her being, you know, LA being involved. I could see a bunch of teams trying to get involved with her.
Yeah.
And I just think for Dallas, I would say, hey, we're going to see what happens in restricted free agency. Because if we get a deal on Mabry and McCowan and you can come back and play, we all know Gray's a professional. She's not going to, you know, go out and give less than whatever, 100%. She's not going to pull an unnamed former Rockets player and come into the season very out of shape. So Gray's going to come in and compete because she's a competitor.
Well, James.
So I didn't say it. I didn't say it.
Oh, okay. I didn't. So I'll take that. That's what you're talking about.
Long way of saying, if I'm Dallas, you got to blow me away with an offer because I think Alicia Gray is going to help us win next year. And if she wants to leave after that, that's her prerogative, but I'm not trading her. So that's my take on the Alicia Gray trade.
Yeah. I think she stays too. I just don't think, you know, again, I don't think teams are going to give up players at that level at this point where all the teams mentioned are still trying to grow. They don't know in Chicago if Quigley's coming back. Like there's still a lot of questions on rosters. So I just think people are going to hold what they have, right? Bird in the hand. That's what it is.
Well, and things may change by the time the draft rolls around as well.
True.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for Dallas to trade up and get someone that they want and they think can really, you know, fit in because they will need rookie contracts that work.
Yeah.
But I just don't. I don't see that happening in any time in the immediate future.
Agreed. But
I'm not always right.
Neither am I, but it's all speculative. But it's fun to speculate. I said mental gymnastics is part of this whole deal, so. There it is. That's a whole little session right there for you.
So we hit everything that I had on the WNBA news. Oh, Breanne January coming back to coach for the Connecticut Sun.
Yes. And it was just her birthday too. And wait, they had someone else too. It was Breanne January and Karima Christmas. What's her married name?
Karima Curtis Kelly. Kelly is back. Is she also in
I thought Connecticut, or where is she? Or is she Indiana?
She might. I think she's in Indiana. I know Monica Wright is in Phoenix as the assistant general manager.
Go ahead,
which is funny. It's a big deal because Phoenix has not always had an assistant general manager. Seems like they put in a little bit more money there, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Now I am looking for this Karima. I'm just gonna.
I saw a post the other day about how she's coaching somewhere, but I don't know. I don't think it's Connecticut. I think it's Indiana.
Indiana. She is with Christy Sides.
Yeah, Christy Sides was just at the, and Lynn Dunn. They were just at the Maryland-Indiana game last
night.
That's
a great transition.
It was really great. It was good. See how good that is?
Perfect.
Courtside right here on the Her Hoop Stats podcast.
Just a well-oiled machine. Mid-season, baby. Starting conference. I guess conferences start. The Meridian Mustangs start our conference schedule tonight, actually.
Let's go, Gabe. Hey, keep me posted. All right.
I know we're going out to Front Royal, to Shenandoah National Park. Hour and a half trip tonight.
On the cheese bus?
It's a nice bus. Nice bus. I hope we get the nice bus.
For an hour and a half, have your back, like, singing a song, honey. It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. But I want to talk about the game you went to. Doing last night, because that was an amazing game.
Listen.
And it was back and forth. Indiana wins 68-61 over Maryland.
Yeah.
Just felt like, I don't know, Maryland played a really good game. Shots just didn't fall.
Didn't fall, Gabe, you know? Because I text you back like, man, they just need like two or three to fall in a row. But Indiana, man, I'm telling you what, listen. I went to both practices and obviously the game, and you know, just to see the continuity. We're talking about that with WNBA teams and and having, you know, a lot of returning players with experience. It's just different, and it's not, you know, it's not better or worse. It's like the only way that you can have experience is to get experience, right? I mean, it's like the law of attrition. It's like that's what it is. You have to do it. But with Indiana, I mean, they have players. I mean, obviously Grace Berger's back for a second game after missing 8 games with that knee injury, but Mackenzie Holmes, like, second best scorer field goal percentage wise in the country, 68% of the time. And I think, I don't know the final box, but I remember towards the end of the game, she was 7 of 10. I'm like, she's still on clip. Right. And that's
she
with receiving
was...
defense. Well, she ended up 7 of 10.
She ended up 7 of 10, 15 points.
Killer.
1 of 4 from the line, though. I mean, 1 of 4 on the line's gonna.
She struggled, but she was 77% coming in.
Yeah.
You know, I know we.
No,
said,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, she kept missing. I was like, man, I was like, she's 77%. But that game, I tried, and I think Indiana missed more free throws than I've ever seen them miss with the win. But they're not gonna be able to do that in other games. They're gonna have to knock those in, and I think they were, I don't know, in mid 70s, like 70. Four as a team, maybe something like that,
for field goal or free throw.
For free throws for Indiana.
Oh no, the free throw numbers are really bad. They were 12 of 21, 57%.
No, on the season, like that
on the season. Yeah. They're really good shooting
team.
Good. I get that up.
But I was like,
no, they're a really good free throw shooting team.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
yeah,
wow,
75%.
75. There it is. Boom. I thought that, you know, down the stretch. I was calling the game with Matt Schumacher and he said, would you foul Indiana here? And I was like, on any other day, I would say no. But today I would say yes, because they're missing today, right? So that's not like, oh, this is what you do against a team like Indiana. But they were missing their free throws. But they did get them down towards the end of the game. But I just thought that Indiana was just like a well-oiled machine in terms of their chemistry. Right. And Grace Berger, she told us that, you know, having gone to an Elite Eight and a Sweet 16, that gives you confidence, that breeds confidence, knowing that the hard work that you put in, it pays off, it pays dividends. And sometimes it's hard when you lay all your heart and soul on the line and you don't see any dividends, you don't see any fruits of your labor. But because they had gone through that, she and Mackenzie Holmes both, and Chloe Moore McDaniel as well, throw her in there. I just think that they have that continuity, and they have new faces. I mean, Maryland has 9 new players this year.
Yeah.
9 of them, and some of them have experience, but they don't have experience together. And sometimes you saw that offensively. I know, yes. Diamond got the ball one time and she was like, move, because she had 2-3 people around her on the catch mid post. And she was like telling her teammates, move, like, you know, but if they had that chemistry, she wouldn't have to tell them that, you know what I mean? So, I mean, for Maryland, they do have 3 1,000 point scorers on the roster. But they haven't played together until this year, you know?
No, and it's really tough.
Yeah. You can't do that. You can't manage.
And that's where the, and you look at this box score, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, wow, you know, Indiana shot 57% from the line. You look at the turnover battle and, you know, Maryland wins it by 3. You look at the boards and, you know, Maryland loses that, but they got more offensive boards. They just didn't shoot well. And I think that's where you see those seams that you're talking about from not playing together. You know, it is about the spacing, and then the spacing's off. So now we're later in the clock. So now it's like, I got to take a bad shot, mm-hmm. you know, or I feel like I got to do more because we're not necessarily in sync. And credit Indiana. Indiana's a really good defensive team.
They were They made it.
It wasn't necessarily like a grinded out game, mm-hmm. but you had to grind to get things. And it was that press from Maryland, and they're just, you know, I want to shout out though, two dogs really quick. Cheyenne Sellers, who I think we mentioned her.
Come on with
like 90% of the podcast since we started. Cause she is just a dog.
Yeah.
Just everywhere until the last second of the game. She just never had, she doesn't have a turn off button. Like, no. She is just the type of player you love. And the player that I did not know as much mm-hmm. about coming in, Sydney Parrish, oh, at Indiana, transfer from Oregon. She's a dog. Oh, she was on the floor for a lot of balls. She was she was in there battling with the bigs for rebounds. She was hitting shots. She ended up with 18 points. I think she led all scores. I know Diamond got to 19. She was really controlled the early part of that game. I just thought she really showed a lot of grit and toughness. And, you know, you mentioned all the players for both teams that are the leaders. Mm-hmm. Well, now you need some people to kind of take behind the leaders. And I think Sellers is doing that as kind of, you know, almost a captain on this team. I don't know if she is a captain on this team, but she is one of those top people in terms of tempo and attitude. Mm-hmm. And I think you look at the other side, Sydney Parrish is doing that for Indiana too.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's Diamond, Faith, well, Diamond Miller.
Yeah.
Faith Misonis and Abby Myers, who are captains off the top of my head from all the notations I still have living.
They're seniors.
In my ears. Yes, yes. But the leadership that Cheyenne Sellers possesses and displays doesn't always have to be vocal leadership, right? Because mm-hmm. she, like you said, has a motor on 1,000. She doesn't turn down for anything. And I think the balance of her game is what we talked about last week. The balance of her game now, where last year she was like that defensive kid who's going to be on the opponent's best player. She still has that responsibility and wants that responsibility. But this year, her offense, I mean, she's plus seven points. Her percentages are way up from 3, which she didn't really have last year as a reliable 3-point shooter. So, I mean, she's continuing to add on to her offensive skill set. And you have to appreciate that and the work ethic that goes behind that. So, I mean, she's only a sophomore. So I'm just thinking like, wow, what will she be like as a senior? And again, Matt Schumacher, who I was calling the game with yesterday, said that she was a lot like Diamond to Shields. And I hadn't thought of that. And he said, but she has obviously an upside from where she is now. But I thought that was a really good comparison to what she could become on the next level in the WNBA.
Yeah, she got the rec specs.
And so he did say that too. And he said, it wasn't just the goggles. I was like, okay, it was not just goggles.
No, totally. She does remind me of Diamond. She also kind of has, you know, she could end up being almost an Ariel Atkins type too. Cause you're seeing just like the seeds of her offensive game.
Yes.
We don't even know what she's going to be in terms of like a creator. Cause she doesn't have to do that on this team. You have, you know, you have Diamond Miller and then you also have a bunch of other players who like to create with the ball in her hands. So she's taking her role as it comes.
Yes.
But you know, she could be anything. I mean, I think she's going to be a really good player. I think she's going to be a draft prospect because you look at the body, you look at the athleticism, you look at the toughness. And if that shooting continues, she's shooting really, really well, as you mentioned. That shooting continues. So her shots have gone way up.
Yeah.
And her percentages have also gone up.
Right.
That's like really impressive to take more shots and to hit a higher percentage is very difficult, especially in your sophomore season. So Sellers really impressive. And then Parrish doing a lot of stuff. I mean, is she a grad student or is she a senior? She's a junior. Oh, goodness.
I think she got the COVID year. So she'll have 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so I know Terry Morin, the Indiana head coach, she said, you know, she's our sixth starter. And when Grace Berger went out, she came into the starting lineup. And Chloe Moore McNeil, when Grace Berger was out, was running the point guard, right? Mm-hmm. Because Grace Berger was running the one to start the season until she got hurt around Thanksgiving in that tournament. But Terry Morin said, hey, listen, Chloe is so great, you know, at being mm-hmm. versatile and flexible and jumping in as the point guard on this top six team in the country. And, you know, they have their best player, you know, their mm-hmm. best returning perimeter player, you know, on the sideline. So now with Grace back in her second game, the first game she came back, she had 16 points against Northwestern. And she told us, she said the first 3 minutes of that game against Northwestern, she said her nerves were like going crazy. Like she was like, oh my gosh, like so many thoughts running. And then, can I trust my body? Right. When you have an injury, it's like, if I land wrong, how's that going to feel? Or if I try to do a burst of speed, is that going to hurt me? But she said 3 minutes into it, she knew that it was just another game and then got it going. And again, had those 16 points and she was solid yesterday and she had foul trouble. She had like 4 fouls with maybe 7 minutes to go in the game. And Terry Morin left her in. And I love that because she trusted her to stay disciplined. And she did that and finished the game. And it was almost like right after that, you know, she got her 4th foul in that game. She knocked in this crucial momentum building shot. And I'm like, that's why she left her in. You know what I mean? Like,
you got to give the player confidence. That gives the player a ton of confidence when you trust them in that situation. And I think, you know, it was the right decision. Obviously it worked out in the end, but you also can say, and this goes to your point, if she fouls out, well, we're just going to put in Chloe Moore McNeil who we put in at the end of the game anyways to hit all of our free throws.
Right.
So
that was it.
You know, it was, they are deep.
Yeah.
They're steady. Mm-hmm. It always feels like Indiana's pretty steady. They did lose to Michigan State, but they feel like a steady team. Like they know what they're about, even when they're missing players as big as Grace Berger. Yeah. As big as Mackenzie Holmes, they didn't do that bad with Mackenzie Holmes out last year.
Right.
So it's looking good, and we have to wait 13 more days for them to play Ohio State, which is annoying.
That game is going to be bonkers. That game is going to be insane. I can't wait for that. That's going to be we got to mark that down. What's it, the 26th?
26.
Yeah, let's go. That game is
if you do that game, I'm coming in your luggage. You got
come on. Hey, let's go ahead and book it. Tell Aaron. Come on,
we're going to Indiana, Ohio State this year. But no, I think that's going to be special matchup. I think both those teams are really special this year.
Very much.
Christy, can I go on a rant?
Sure. As long as it's not about me.
Nope, but it's not. It's about my favorite subject to talk about, the Miami Hurricanes. I even have something queued up.
You got something queued? Let me...
are undefeated in 2023. All conference wins, 2 ranked wins against number 22 UNC, number 9 Virginia Tech. Oh, baby, Katie Meyer's squad's looking good. They have the last bye, one of the last 4 byes in the bracketology. They're going up. They're 11th seed right now. They're going all the way up. We're going to be back to an 8 seed at the very least. 39th in HHS ratings, 35th in HHS defensive rating. They had a very hard start to the season, but man, looking good. Some winnable games coming up. Haley Cavender, 17.5 points per game over the last 4. Jasmine Roberts doing whatever. 22 points against Virginia Tech. She's a sophomore. What are you talking about? And Destiny Harden doing her thing. Canes looking fantastic. Shouts to Katie Meyer. And let's hope that doesn't get us copyright claimed on YouTube. Because I don't know if I'm able to use this song. I'm an alumni, though. I don't know if that counts. I should be able to do it.
Hey, man.
I just yelled a lot.
But you said you were going on a rant, but usually, you know, on the award shows, like the Golden Globes, when they play the music, you're supposed to wrap that thing up, Gabe. Mm-hmm. You just kept going.
I needed a soundtrack. I needed a soundtrack.
Oh, my God.
Cocaine's.
That was funny.
Miami stuff.
But it was all true. It was all true. Katie Meyer, shout out. Hey, girl, hey.
They're looking good.
Yeah, they're looking good. Two really big wins. You know, the Carolina win and the NC State win. I think I texted you or tweeted at you or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They, like, you just said they were going to sneak in and get somebody, and they got two bodies. So that was awesome stuff. But, yeah, playing tough and just getting ready to get into the thick of conference play coming up.
Yeah, they're in it. So they're 4-2 yeah. in the ACC.
Yeah.
Because they had some games early. Like, the ACC schedule started pretty early this year. And then they lost to Florida State, a team I want to talk about in a second. Mm. And they lost to Notre Dame by 3 points on the road. No, that was at home. But they come back and win these next four with Pitt and Georgia Tech included in those upset wins.
Mm-hmm.
Looking good, though. I think this is a team that, as I said at the beginning of the year, they can make some noise in the ACC. Probably like in that, you know, fourth to eighth category in terms of the ACC.
Right.
But, you know, you look at this conference, it is chaotic and wide open. And it is legit. Like, just a lot of good teams, but a lot of chaos happening. I mean, while you were calling this Indiana game, so I'm watching Christy, and I have to, like, have two other screens going. Because the ACC was nuts. I mean, UNC was getting hammered by UVA.
Yeah.
They come out in the fourth quarter. They win it 28-8.
That's crazy.
To beat UVA.
That's crazy.
And then Virginia Tech also in the same situation, losing to Louisville. And they get back up and beat Louisville, who's been struggling so far this year.
They have.
So they avoided two upsets. But then NC State got blown out.
Yeah.
In Tallahassee against Florida State. Tania Latson, 31 points. Have you seen this highlight tape?
I have not.
I will make it. I will send it to you.
Send it to me.
It's some of the toughest buckets I've seen this season.
What?
Yeah, across basketball. Like she was like completely. Some of these shots were very ill advised. Like it's one of those games where you're like, no. Yes. Yes.
Not if they went in. It's not ill advised.
That's one of the ones. That's one of the ones where you're on the silo. You're like, no. And then you just look down because you don't want them saying no when the shot goes in.
Fool's gold sometimes on those, you know. It's a little tricky. It's a fine line. But if it goes in, take them. Put it in the bag.
She got all of them to fall. 31 points. And she is, really doing great things for this Florida State team. Florida State should be in your top 25. So should Miami, by the way. If we have any voters listening.
I mean, I don't see any right here or anything. I don't see any AP voters on this side.
So if any AP voters are listening, I think Florida State Miami deserves some serious contention in your top 25. But man, that was a really impressive win. NC State, though, you know, it's weird year, because it kind of feels like they're rebuilding, and Louisville feels like they're rebuilding, but they're still really good.
They are.
You can't count them out. No. So I just. I don't know what to do with NC State. I do know what to do with Latson, though. I'm gonna make a highlight tape for her and send it to you because
please do that.
Some tough stuff, as the kids say. It's tough. You know?
Yeah, I like tough stuff. Yeah,
it's tough. Well, it was tough buckets.
Swell up, like put the jacket on, like tough, like yeah. There you go.
is she actually? No, that can't be right.
What's her or her clip for the year?
She is averaging 25 points a game.
Killer.
Wow. That's nuts. Wait a minute.
Blackhoff is doing it down there.
24 points in conference play.
Go ahead, girl.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to
keep an eye on
that. We need a bookmark because she is disgusting. She scored 30 points in three of her last four games.
Wow.
Man. Has scored less than 20 only twice this year.
Wow. We need to know the pregame routine and ritual. Like, what is she eating? And does she take a nap? Like, we need to know all the mechanics leading up to these crazy good games.
She, I think the mechanics are she is just a hooper. She's a baller. Yeah. She's an absolute animal. Christy, you're going to love it. I got to send you a tape because it's just, it's some of the, I mean, she takes easy shots too. She hits threes, but like the tough ones are absolutely insane.
Let me see that. I'm gonna see it.
Really, really impressed with her. So I gotta do a little bit more research into her and get some more stuff. But that's all the games I have. South Carolina. I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Okay.
Last week we said, you know, they're the most trustworthy team that we've had in this podcast history as we hit our 100th episode.
100.
But they've kind of struggled early in the last two games. Mississippi State struggled early. Kentucky struggled early. You know, they came back and in the fourth quarter destroyed Kentucky.
Right.
Kind of in the same fashion that UNC did to UVA. But right. They also, you know, struggled with Mississippi State and came back and won by 7 points. So just want to note that South Carolina is struggling early in games. It wouldn't be crazy for them to lose a game, even though they are really great and consistent. It's hard to win all your games in a season. So maybe they drop one in the SEC. Maybe. I'd still pick against it.
Yeah.
No comment.
Oh, I thought you were like, you do that with your hair and then while you're thinking and then you were going to say something else. No.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you were still going. No, I think that they have had slow starts. I mean, I was at the Maryland South Carolina game and that was a close game at halftime until it wasn't in the second half. But I think when you have a team again that has a lot of continuity and a lot of experience and Dawn Staley stirring that pot, I just think that it's a recipe for success, honestly, regardless of how they start the game, it's how they finish, you know, and we've seen that they've won some close games this season. They have Missouri on Sunday. So I just think that they're continuing to build the different ways they're being covered. You saw four people guarding Aaliyah Boston one game, and Dawn Staley was like, that'll work for two and a half quarters. But after that, that's it. And I think that could be said, not just that coverage of Aaliyah Boston, but I think that notion can be said for South Carolina as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. Like whatever schemes you come up with defensively, that's great for a minute, but we're going to overtake you. I mean, that's basically what Dawn said. Like, that's fine. Yeah. You can. Hey, this is an unorthodox way. You know, we're not going to cover anybody else but Boston. We're going to put four bodies on her on the catch. Mm-hmm. And anybody else, if you guys go off, go ahead and do that. And that'll give us a chance to win. And it was working for a minute. But there's no way. Like, we haven't seen a team sustain that level of disruption against a team like South Carolina for an entire four quarters. Or into overtime or whatever. Like, we haven't seen it yet. There's always adjustments to be made. And South Carolina has this way of just massaging you down. And at first it's like, yeah, okay. We missed a couple in a row. We're up five. It's a close game, but we're still right there. Like, we're not 20 down or something because of this change that we see on the defensive side. So I just think they just have a way to just work you down and take you over.
They're like an old school football team that like runs the ball like 40 times a game. Just eventually like you're gonna hurt more than us and we're gonna be able to score a touchdown. And that's kind of their MO. I would like to see them be a little bit more dynamic, but you know, they're playing, their defense is just so incredible that maybe that's not necessary right now. But I do want, you know, Stanford.
Yeah.
But frankly, should have beat South Carolina earlier. Sure. It took a lot for them to lose that game.
Yeah.
So if they're going to, they just have to get this ready by the end of the year. You know, I'm not going to freak out. It's January 13th. But by late February or mid February, I want to see them, you know, kind of motoring past the teams, and we'll see what happens after that UConn game. Seems like they get a big game in there and it really pushes them. But that Missouri coming back after winning, beating South Carolina last year, being South Carolina's own loss, I'm gonna put a little guarantee here. South Carolina's gonna win that game by like 20 points.
Yeah, that's on Sunday. So that'll be interesting to see. But the only loss for South Carolina last year, the champs of the entire NCAA. So Yeah, I'm sure they've had it circled too. I mean, you put a little star by it, you don't think that that's like Leah Boston has had a little circle or some kind of something on that since
the coach and staff's been watching a little bit more tape of Missouri.
Circled. All of it. Yeah.
That might be it might be a beatdown in the same. And I do want to point out, like, this is the 13th. So 8 days ago, they did beat Auburn by 52 points. Oh, so it's not like they've been struggling for a while. It's just a little thing to note that they have had some slow starts. That's right. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. South Carolina to mention, just to let you know. Yeah. But that's what it is. But they have not had any slow finishes. And that's the main thing, right?
I just want to note it. South Carolina fans, I'm still picking y'all to win the national championship. Don't get mad at me.
Ooh, don't,
you can say our friends in the comments, you know, let us know.
Yeah.
But I'm still picking y'all. Let's talk about we gotta get out of the South Carolina conversation. Let's talk about games this week. What games do you have coming up?
Oh boy. You know, I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything. But I just had the Indiana Maryland last night. And tonight I have the Wizards and Knicks game. I'm on that call with Chris Miller, so I'm excited. And then on Sunday, I'll be in the studio all day with my homegirl, Rebecca Lobo.
Oh.
So I'm going to be up in Bristol on Sunday. So I'll be in the studio all day. And we're going to be breaking down that South Carolina, Missouri game. I believe North Carolina, NC State, as well. Just a couple other games as well. So I'll be in there for the day and then come back, and then Wizards Golden State on Monday. So Tuesday, I'm going to be like this here. Right here. Tuesday. Yeah, I'll lay down on Tuesday. That's what I'm going to do. But yeah, but all hoops every
nap,
day.
Nap day. Naps on Tuesday.
Nap is on Tuesday. Yeah, for about an hour. And then get up and do it all over again.
Yeah, so we did talk about the South Carolina game for a reason. Look at that.
Yeah.
I do think South Carolina is gonna be focused.
In
that game.
Agreed.
That's gonna be a toughie for Missouri. NC State UNC.
Yeah.
Has it lost a little bit of luster because both those teams have kind of been up and down the ACC, but that's always an awesome game. That game in last year's ACC tournament in Greensboro was hopping. UNC played NC State. I believe it was the semis.
I think it was.
No, it must have been.
Was it semis or quarters? I can't remember.
It must have been. It must have been semis because in the quarterfinals, UNC beat Virginia Tech in overtime.
You're right.
So it must have been the semis.
Semis.
And it was, that place was on fire. So I expect the Dean Dome to be crazy. On Sunday, and that's going to be a really awesome game. Are you guys also talking about Iowa State, Texas? Because that's on the ESPN.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm excited to see that. Did we talk about Texas last week?
I thought we did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking back.
Yeah. But that's going to be another great one. You know, just with health, you know, both ways, right? Texas getting it back. Iowa State, you know, losing, you know, their star.
Yeah, Stephanie Soares.
For the year, for the season. So that's always tough. But, you know, Texas was slow out of the gates because of injury. And we'll see what it does to Iowa State, right? I hate injuries, by the way, but I say that.
It's icky business. But, yeah, I think Texas looking strong now. And I think they're going to get back into the top 25 soon enough. Let's hope I did not miss a Texas result here because it's always possible.
You have all that in front of you. Dig for it.
I'm going to look. Oh, they did. Well, they lost to Oklahoma State a few days ago on last Saturday.
Saturday, okay.
Still really looking strong still. They have that big win. They just beat Kansas pretty handily on Tuesday. And, you know, they look good in that game. I think they're going to be looking good in this Iowa State game. And I think that Oklahoma State game may have been more of a look-ahead spot. So I'm hoping Texas is back. Because I just want to see Vic Schaefer's offense. I want to see Rory Harmon. I want to see Shayla Gonzalez playing in big games, and they have to be good to be playing in big games. So I'm excited for that one.
Yeah.
And Ashley Jones, little WNBA prospects.
You said what? I missed. I talked over at the same
time. Ashley Jones, just going to be able to watch Ashley Jones, WNBA prospect.
Absolutely.
Who's going to have interesting matchups, actually.
Yeah.
Against Texas.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be awesome. I think, you know, at this point of the season, and I think I said this yesterday too, it's like, you know, maybe early in conference play and all of that, but you know, you don't want to look back at your litany of games during January and wish you could have one of those back, right? That's why you have to lay it on the line and not wait until the end of conference play to dial it up. Like, you got to be ready to go every single night, every single, I don't care what conference, you got to be ready to bust it every single game.
Oh yeah.
Because you just don't know, like injuries, like you just don't know if that's going to, you know, impact your season later on. So you got to get what you can get, you know, while it's in front of you. So I just think that that's why it's so intriguing, you know, to watch these games right now, like this stretch, like this next 2-3 weeks, and what that looks like for teams in terms of gaining momentum or losing it, right? And confidence, gaining it or losing it. So I think it's just really fun to see how that changes and how the momentum swings. You know, that pendulum is just like, you know, hey, you know, who's going to control that, right? And who's going to come out on top? And teams, like going back to Indiana, it's like, you know, the defensive consistency of teams is also one of those sustainable aspects and in the game, regardless of gender, regardless of level. You know, if you can sustain your focus and discipline on defense, your team's going to be successful, whether your shots are falling or not. Right. Yeah. Indiana missed their free throws, but guess what? They were locking down on defense and kept Maryland out of the paint. So, so that's what I'm going to be looking for. I just think it's that part of the season, but you can't get, you know, looped in or fall asleep thinking that, well, you know, we have February. Like, we lost that one, but we have time. No, you don't. Like, you got to get these games now. You got to knock these out of the park, like, today. Like, you can't wait for that.
Well, it's also, like, the just one other aspect of it is a lot of these teams are playing Thursday and Sunday. So, like, NC State and UNC, they're playing Thursday and Sunday. For a coaching staff, it's pretty hard to prep from in between that time. So, you're really prepping for two games at once. Sometimes when that happens, it's just like, well, we have to prep for one more, you know, that's just how the cookie crumbles of who, how are we going to spend their time? And sometimes you're relying on, you know, that defensive, because defense is a little bit, it can be very strategic, but you know, you can control your attitude on defense. You can't necessarily control if the shots go in. You can control your effort on the defensive side. You can control if you're diving after loose balls. Right. And so it's the teams that do that consistently that get over that hump of the hard game planning, the fact that we're tired, the fact that we're not, you know, necessarily as familiar with this team as we'd hope to be.
Right.
And being, I think, experienced and knowing each other helping in a big way, as we talked about with Indiana and versus Maryland, it helps in a big way to have all those players that you know what they're going to do on a night-to-night basis. And you can kind of change more on the fly as well.
Absolutely.
So I think it is a big deal to be able to say, hey, we're built on our defense legitimately. I know everyone says we're built on our defense, but like legit, we are built from the defense forward. Cause then you're if you can get stops, you get easier buckets.
Right.
And B, it helps you be more adaptable to whatever situations you're being put in as a team.
Absolutely. And to that point, I mean, when I was coaching in college, we would scout like 4 games ahead,
right?
So you would have time, and then, you know, obviously keeping an eye on what they're doing during that stretch of scouting time as well. But, you know, we would alternate, right? All the assistants would get a game, but it would be like 2 weeks down the line, like, oh, I'm watching North Carolina, right? So I have them, but the game is 4 games away. So it's not like you're running up against it, you know.
So what does the practice look like? So if you have a tight window, let's say you play Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah.
What and I'm sure this has changed just because there's probably more film, technology stuff that they can do. But, you know, typically, right? I would guess you have like Monday and Tuesday practice are, you know, more or less normal practices. Mm-hmm. And then the day before the game is when you scout.
Yes.
So for a Thursday game, it'd be Wednesday.
Yeah.
For a Sunday game, it'd be Saturday.
Yes.
So then you, and then how's the coaching game planning meetings work around that?
You know, that's a great question because, you know, every coach is different. Every coach is different, but that's a great way to do it. Just to keep you locked in on what you do, right? Lock in on what you want to bring to them, but have an awareness of what they're going to want to do and what you want to take away from them. Obviously, you want to have an edge, right? You want to have, you know, something that you're going to disrupt. So it's not, you're just going to go in like, oh, they got to play to us. But then now here comes, you know, something from their end you're not ready for. No, you have to be realistic, but at the same time, you don't want to obviously burn the legs of your players the day before a game, right? You're going to get a lot of that up and down on Mondays and Tuesdays where you're a lot of 5-on-5, a lot of full, a lot of pressing, a lot of drill works drill work and reps with shots and rhythm of shots. 5-on-0 is probably save for the day before, right? Where you're going game speed with everything. And you know this as a coach, right? Game speed on everything and, you know, making sure that you know the coverages that you're going to do and who the personnel is, like who are you forcing left, right? who, correct. or left or right, whatever. But I just think that it's smart to do it that way, right? Yep. You have to have an awareness, but you don't want to just be focused on your opponent, right? You also have to make sure that you are bringing the personality and culture of your squad to them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the first thing you want to do. But then you also want to be able to adjust to things that you see. And as a coach, when I was coaching, sometimes it would happen, you know, you think you have everything all planned out, right? You've seen a lot of game films and everything like that, boom, boom, boom. And then you get in the game and they throw a monkey wrench in there and you're like, oh, snap. Which I love because that's mental gymnastics, right? And I'm like, okay, you want to do that? Time out, boom. Let's make an adjustment, right?
Yeah.
Not just gonna stand by the wayside and let things happen because who does that?
Of course not.
No, go in there and change things and adapt, right? To give your team a chance to win. Because I was all about throwing, you know, caution to the wind. Like, well, we haven't practiced a triangle in two, but look, we're gonna come out of this timeout and we're gonna throw it out there. And oh my God, I keep talking about that one game, but I was just like so proud of our team that we were able to.
Like, hey, look, we've been talking about. I know. We've been talking about Nick Nurse going with the triangle and two in the finals for years now, and that's going to be on his Hall of Fame plaque. So I absolutely going triangle and two is a wild solution, and if it works, you absolutely get to talk about it forever.
I love it. Oh man, I will always talk about that game because we were getting outmaneuvered in that game, and we just had to come up with something, and we had zero reps in practice. And I said, hey dudes, like we have to do this. And the coaches, I remember they're, you know, at the halftime, I was like, we just have to sit on those two kids. Those two kids are killing us. Like, we just have to do it. Like, everyone else just has to have zone concepts in the back. It's a triangle, just baseline, baseline shift and a drop mid. We just have to do it. And they came out there and just rocked it, man. It was so good. And we ended up winning, you know, because of it too. And not me, because I could have called for that and it wouldn't have been executed. Sure. And we hadn't practiced it. So when am I going to be upset that, we didn't practice it. They go out there and, you know, didn't get it done. No, I'm not going to, you know, but I will try it. I'm all for trying, you know. So going back to the practice schemes, I just think you have to be prepared for anything, even the things that you have no idea are coming your way. But you have to be open-minded as a coach when it comes to making adjustments and take it, fall on the sword if it doesn't work, and then praise your kids when it does work, right? It's about the coaches when you lose, and in my perspective, like, I'll take credit for all the losses and the kids take credit for all the wins. That's how I looked at it. And that same game, that triangle and two game, that was all the kids. Like, I'm like, dude, just try this and see if this closes the holes in the boat. Cause we're getting cooked right now. Like, we got to do something, like, we got to save ourselves. But they did it. They did that, not me. So I will always give credit to the kids and the players who bear down and trust that this could work if they work it, and they worked it. So it's fun.
And those are the teams that succeed in the conference schedule. Yeah. Back to, you know, that's the exact kind of thing that you want to see from a team that's going to be really good in conference. Was your team good that year?
We were very good that year. We were very good that year.
Where'd you guys go?
I think we won the district regular season. Okay. And went, I think, second or third round region.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah. So we had, because I stopped coaching, but I don't know how many regular season titles we had. I know we had three district championships and then went to several regional championship games, but never got over the hump there regionally. Oh, but yeah, I know.
It's tough. It is. Well, it's tough, man, in 6A up here in Northern Virginia.
It's
really tough to get to it.
Yeah. But we were in there. We had some real deep runs into postseason, a couple state runs, you know, first, second round states. So yeah, it was good. I miss it. Can you tell? I'm reminiscing. Anyway,
Christy, you may not be coaching a team anymore, but you're always coaching us here. I think you're always. I always learn something at the very least that helps me in my coaching and in my talking about the game. So
you know, I love it. You know, I love it all. Thank you, Gabe.
That's everything on my very long list. I had a whole, I just got like going this morning. I wrote that list. It's long stuff. All the Miami stuff is here because I knew I was going to have to say it. I was going to have to say all the Miami stuff within the time of that song.
So do you have music on there? Did you have play the music here?
No. I knew when to play the music. I knew when to play the music. We could play it again.
Go ahead. Another quick time.
I'm sorry, YouTube.
Yeah, sorry, YouTube. He does not own the rights to the music, so now they won't take it off, right? That's what you're supposed to say. Right?
That doesn't work. Don't admit to anything.
Gabe's like, no, don't do it.
It's a bad idea. Everyone on YouTube, it doesn't do anything, and you're admitting to a crime.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good song.
I'm still a lawyer.
It's still what?
I'm still a lawyer.
Yeah, you are. See, so we're protected. Gabe the lawyer.
We're good.
Gabe the coach. I love it. So we're rolling out of here. Hey, listen, we've got some games coming up. Good luck to Meridian and Coach Ibrahim.
Good luck to the Wizards. Get a W for Christy. Two W's. Yeah.
Got some, you know, I had some tea and everything. I get my voice me with Chris Miller. And hopefully they're dramatics again on that.
Oh, yeah. It was a great game the other day.
But it'll be fun. A ton of games on Sunday. Make sure you guys are watching all those so we can chop it up with you guys next week right here on Courtside with Christy and Gabe on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. We don't have to go home, but we got to get up out of here. They're cutting the lights off and everything like that. But we will see you guys next time. This has been our 100th episode. And we want you guys to send us.
Oh, we forgot to tell them.
Yeah, tell them. Send us your ideas if you've been listening along the way, or if you're a new listener. Let us know some of the topics of discussion and some of the moments, like me saying if Gabe lost a bet that he had to go to Berry Farms and play, and I would be video.
That was one of my ideas for this podcast. If we had time, I was gonna say let's go to Berry Farms. We'll do a shootout, and then we'll do Courtside while we're doing the shootout.
That was my favorite one. One of the favorites, but that was.
See, my favorite was the flip side of that. When the Indiana Fever, Christy bet that the Indiana Fever would have 6 wins at the All-Star break. The Indiana Fever won like 5 of their first 10 games.
I was
and
like,
they
yeah.
didn't win for the rest of the season.
Come on. Yeah. Christy side will take care of that though.
What a bad break. What a bad break for Christy.
Yeah,
give us your favorite moments of Courtside, favorite moments from the time of Courtside from 2020 on. Just tell us like what you want us to talk about, what you want us to reminisce on, because we have memories of pretty much everything that has happened.
We do
in women's basketball.
We do.
Also, shouts to the Learfield Varsity Podcast Network, our new podcast host. So, love you guys. Appreciate the support.
We appreciate you guys. Thank you for teaming up with us. We appreciate the support for sure, and I know. Our listeners, some people randomly come up to me, Gabe, and say, I listen to you and Gabe all the time. So people are listening and, you know, they enjoy the banter and we enjoy bantering. So, continue to come back and check us out. And Learfield Audio, thank you guys for partnering with us. We appreciate you. And Aaron, 100 episodes. Thank you again. And Gabe, oh my God, my friend, 101 next week.
101 next week. Keep going. Something crazy is going to happen in college basketball. I know that.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot. We got a lot more to talk about, honey.
See y'all.
Parade wave.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.